That's right. Back here together. Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer. Hope everyone's having a good one out there. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Monday. Nice to be back together here in the early hours of the week.
Yeah, hi. You're here.
That's actually a real yawn. That was not for the air.
Yeah, that was I couldn't escape that one. It is early. It feels early. A long weekend, Joe. It felt early this morning waking up.
I can imagine from what I've heard of this weekend, hoping to hear more. It weared on you.
Yeah. It did. 803-0930 is where you weigh in throughout the morning here. 803-0930, you can give us a call or send a text on our Volkswagen Virtual Park text board.
Before you set that up, I have to say, I don't know if it's what I talked about on Friday, but Friday afternoon, I was talking about Maple Road and the greenery that is covering these beautiful new softball fields. I drive into work yesterday. Most of it has been mowed. Now, I don't know if it's a coincidence.
You're the mowmaster?
Or...
You got mowed?
If it was the 10-minute rant I went on about how these fields are being blocked, these beautiful new fields are being blocked on Maple. But whatever it was, it looks very nice.
Joe said, cut down all the greenery.
Well, you have these brand
new... it's weeds and stuff. It's not like trees.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, you've got these brand new fields. I'm seeing, there's games going on, these softball games.
These pines are cutting down my view of the factory.
But you build these fields. I guarantee there are people who are... Where are these softball fields are talking about? So now you can see them. Great work.
They look nice. I'm a little... is there a net? It's been a while since I've driven past them. Is there like a net or something to prevent balls from just hammering cars on Maple?
Not yet, but I have not seen a game on that very field. I've seen one that has the wall toward the school.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's the only thing I think about driving by there. I'm like, am I going to get hit by a foul ball right now?
I think that going by any golf course, is someone going to be yelling four? I can't hear it because I'm in my car, and a golf ball go into the middle of the street.
Yeah, any baseball, anything, doesn't matter. There's a couple of like baseball, softball diamonds in my neighborhood. Every time I drive past and I see anybody, it doesn't matter if it's like a little kid practicing or a full-blown game going on, I'm just like, come on, not today.
Yeah, please. Please not today.
That was me up to bat. Who knows where this ball would be going. But, I'm certainly not directing it anywhere.
But I just wanted to make sure I got that out there, Brian. I apologize for going off course, but I wanted to make sure I said, I'm not saying it was me. It probably was a coincidence, but it looks very nice. And since I said some mean things on Friday, I just want to say, Amherst, it looks nice.
Here's we might just start a new segment on the show. Questions. Just things that pop up in my head. I was thinking about this last week, and I'm like, well, I don't really want to just ask this to the void. I want to wait till Joe comes around. While we're on the topic of recreation, is hacky sack still a thing? I've just noticed a lack of... I was thinking about this because I've seen a lot of people doing frisbee golf. Not to stereotype or anything. Generally speaking, same type of people who I would normally see in a hacky sack circle are enjoying a frisbee golf in the parks. I have not seen anybody use a hacky sack in a very long time. I've not seen a hacky sack on a store shelf in a very long time. I remember in high school, waiting for the bus, there would be a hacky sack circle, the same group of athletes, in a little circle every time. You could see it. Smell it. You knew what was going on. I have not seen anyone with a hacky sack in forever. Is it still a thing?
Well, the only time I ever saw a hacky sack was on a high school or college campus. And admittedly, Brian, I have not been to a high school or college campus outside of a football field at Tech. So I have not seen a hacky sack. Also, the people I'm seeing play frisbee golf are usually in their 50s. So if that's the hacky sack crew, then I'm thinking they're a little bit older.
Did they replace the hacky sack? I mean, there was like no hacky sack in the halls. That was like a rule.
Well, there's an age.
It was so popular.
There's an age where, things start aching that, hacky sack has to be replaced by something that you might be able to still play.
Didn't seem like that strenuous of an activity.
Well, I could never get the hang of it.
I thought you were going to say there's an age where you start to get over the hacky sack. And I'm like, I don't know. We spent the last week talking about 50-year-olds buying Fisher-Price Little People and Madden video games. So I don't think hacky sack is one of the things you'd age out of necessarily. But all right.
Well, Madden, you know, yes. I mean, as someone who just played Madden 12 hours ago, I have, I can't say anything.
Over the weekend, I took a little trip to Pittsburgh, where was there visiting some friends over the weekend, and took both of our kids. Not our first time, you know, taking a trip. We went to, you know, us big travelers, went to Erie, Pennsylvania earlier in the summer with a little, you know, 3-day getaway, did a bunch of stuff there, which is, it's actually very, there's a lot, one of the things I love about Buffalo, and I'll say this all the time, I have a good friend who lives out in Denver, and, you know, he's always talking about how great Denver is, and, you know, I go and visit, and like, yeah, it's, there's some nice things there, but,
yeah.
Doesn't hold a candle to Buffalo, in my opinion. Denver, it's like you're living on an island. You have to drive like 9 hours to the nearest place that isn't Denver,
yeah,
and isn't the wilderness. Here, short trip in the car. Yeah, Erie, Pennsylvania, right down there. Cleveland, Toronto, Rochester, New York City, if you wanted a little bit further of a drive. Pittsburgh, down the other. I mean, the options are endless.
Yeah.
You can go anywhere, and just a short trip away.
You didn't mention Corning, Elmira. There's some fun sure. stuff to do in those cities as well.
But, you know, in terms of bigger cities, there's a lot of areas right nearby that just a short car trip away. It's one of the reasons I, you know, love living here in Western New York. There's a lot in Western New York, but a lot just surrounding it.
It's Western New York, but it's in a central location.
Yeah. So we'd like to do that. Did one earlier this summer. Went great. Did one for Pittsburgh. Less so. Was a trying trip with two kids. Notably, my 3-year-old, who is just like right in the prime toddler age of not really wanting to listen to anybody but himself, right? How do you reason with a toddler? I mean, that's question number one I have for people out there. How do you reason with a 3-year-old? We had a couple of things we were planning on doing. Was planning on going to the Bills game. Didn't happen. Had to take that away. Was planning out, we were going to do the incline as we got into, it just wasn't going to work out. Part of the problem is if my son misses his nap in the middle of the day, it, you know, if we're thrown off, you know, wildly off the schedule, if he's tired, things go south pretty quick.
No car
he
nap?
He turns into an animal.
No car nap?
Oh, there was a, you know, a nap in the car, but okay. Still. The long car trip is just not great for it. Like being confined to the seat for that period of time, even with a nap thrown in, not great.
And you're doubling the time to Pittsburgh because Erie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Erie might be the limit.
So it was a little bit of a rough trip. To give you an example, so yesterday we were at the kids museum down there. We didn't go to the football game after you know, a little bit of an outburst. I said, well, no, can't go to the football game. Not allowed. You're you know, kicking and screaming and things like that. That's can't do it. So yesterday we were at the children's museum. I said, all right, you know, time to go. We got to get going. Got to go eat something and then get home. Got to go home. Not listening. Doesn't want to go. I said, all right, hey, it's time to go home. Like, I
nice about that. Got very stern.
We have to go home now. Yeah. But I don't want to go. I want to play. Just you know, this. No. We're going home right now. This is. We have to go. Don't make me drag you out of here. Wasn't listening, so all right, grab his hand, and then, you know, that's, I don't want to go, and he, like, you know, is in a hitting phase right now, which we're really trying to get out of. Like, karate chops me in the neck, like, slaps right in the neck, and, you know, that's right where I pick him up under the, all right, we're out of here, thrown out of the museum, we're out of here, you're going right now into the car, grab him under my shoulder, and we're walking that way. So
bit of a scene? Or was it contained?
I mean, I don't know. You're always, as the parent, you always think you're making a scene.
Right.
We're in a children's museum.
Yeah.
So it's just, you're just filled with people who live that life all the time. Right. So, like, not really a scene. It's just a bunch of parents who are just kind of like looking at you like, yep, yeah, been there.
Going to be me in 20 minutes.
That, yeah. So later in the day, we get home and everything. I'm getting ready for his bedtime last night. And I go, you know, all right. You know, no more hitting. Like, we're if this keeps up, you do that again, you're not going to be able to do any fun things ever. Like, that's just how it works. Trying to reason in some way with them. And we tell them, you know, instead of screaming or hitting, you can walk away, right? You take a deep breath, count to 10, you know, do something else. Here's a strategy to deal with when you're feeling upset or frustrated or mad or something like that. And so he's telling me, like, but I wanted to play with the monster truck. I know you wanted to play, but we had to leave. And he goes, you were getting frustrated. I said, yeah, Dad was getting very frustrated because you weren't listening. And he says, well, why didn't you walk away? I'm like, you little.
Well played. Like, well played.
Like, what is going this? So it's that I almost walked away right there. I said, no, you, because Dad can't just walk away and leave you. Like,
yeah.
That's the rule. You got to do that. So it was a trying trip, to say the least, over the last few
it
days.
It lost its status as vacation.
Yeah, quickly. Yeah, when vacation becomes a trip. And what I'm wondering is who has the vacation horror story out there? Because we had a rough go of it the last few days. But you can let us 803-0930 by a text or call. I know that this is not a vacation horror story, right? Like, we still did some fun things. We still had our trip, came back. Everyone's in one piece, a little exhausted. Didn't go, you know, didn't do everything on the itinerary, but all's well that ends well.
Yeah, you're back here.
We're back here. I know that there are stories out there of people who have had vacation nightmares where it's, whether it's someone you're with, it turns into a whole thing. Have you ever actually turned the car around? Like, that's the threat, right? Keep quiet. Or we'll turn the car. You don't stop. You know, we did that a couple times on the way down. Like, hey, stop screaming or hitting your brother's car seat or whatever. Or we'll stop and pull off. Like, we won't go and do whatever. But you never actually mean it.
Right.
Has the car ever actually been turned around? Let me know. 803-0930. Someone said, Brian, just wait until your kids are older to do public stuff with them. What's that supposed to mean? Like, never take your kids out to do anything fun until they're 6 years old. No. No, he's like, I would say he's 80 to 85% great kid. 20 to 15% wild animal. But, you know, that's a three-year-old.
That's the risk of taking a trip, right? Like,
yeah.
You said, the nap, missing out on the nap.
That's when you start to cram a bunch of things in, you know, by the end of the day, you're going to run into tired monster.
Someone's going to be tired.
Type of toddler. And then I'm tired on top of it. So,
yes, your first words were, I wish I would have taken today off.
Yeah. it's just kind of one of those days. Have you had like a vacation horror story,
you know,
like any time looking back?
I've been trying to think of vacation horror stories. And, you know, Brian, I can't. Now, I'm sure my parents could text me and say, well, you don't remember blank. Now, I remember the threats of the car being turned around. But I was also, I'm not as dumb as some may think. Like, most of our vacations were to go see family. They're not turning the car around, right? My parents weren't going to turn the car around when we were going to visit my grandparents. So it was always an empty threat. I would like to know if anyone has the story of the car actually being turned around, of the trip actually being canceled. But no, fortunately, I have no trips from hell yet. Next year, with a one-year-old, we are driving to Sunset Beach, North Carolina. So, Brian, I might have a story in a year from now.
I don't know how. I mean, we're like learning on the fly here. It's just, it becomes a little more challenging, I think. And then there is a point where your toddler can be a little more reasoned with and understands things a little bit better. And then it kind of swings back around. Up until now, it's just, it's always been so easy. And then, like, once they get a little bit of an attitude or a mind of their own, I won't even say attitude, but like once they start to figure things out a little bit, that's when it gets a little bit tricky, or at least I've noticed.
Uh-oh.
Over the past. Like that, you know, why didn't you just walk away? Oh my goodness, when he said that yesterday,
you were like, oh my God, this is my son.
I almost lost it. 803-0930, we'll go to Drew in Lackawanna. Drew, you're on WBEN. You got a vacation horror story for us?
Oh, we were doing a road trip to Colorado for a wedding. There was 8 of us, and in the one car, there was my mother-in-law and her husband, and that they were, I would say, late, probably like early 50s. And then in that same car, they had 2 21-year-olds. In my car, I had the 81-year-old grandma and a 7-year-old child for 24 hours. So I had the grandma that needed to get up and walk around the car for an hour, or every hour, and the 7-year-old that on the last stretch of the drive where there was absolutely nothing in town or nothing in sight for in terms of bathrooms or stop areas, had to go number 2. So that was the way there. So for literally 2 hours, we had to listen to him. I felt bad for him. We tried to tell him to, like, pull off the side of the road, like, we'll open the doors, he could go, and he was not having it, needed an actual bathroom. So that was a nightmare. Then on the way home, I'm like Clark Griswold. I just want to make good time.
Of course. So
I still got grandma. I still got the 7-year-old in the car. But the other car wants to... Rather than stopping halfway through, because we didn't stop the first time. We drove 24 hours straight. We just kept going. On the way back, they wanted to do like a stop halfway. So I'm like, okay, fine. Halfway's decent. They stopped 6 hours into the drive, which leaves us with 18 when we wake up. I was furious. But I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, this is your family. We'll do that. We stop. My mother-in-law's husband, which is like her stepdad, my wife's stepdad, stops to get gas. We go to the hotel, sleep overnight, wake up. He can't start his car. So we're like, okay, what happened? Like, you know, maybe it's something small, starter, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They go, take it to the mechanic. The guy put diesel into his Chevy HHR.
Yeah, makes sense. And those things are horses.
He's telling us the story how the nozzle didn't fit, so he just lined up the rim with the the circle and just like spit it into his car. I guess it was crazy. So they were stuck there for. We actually took off. Like they said that we could leave, but
and
so
you
we,
took
we,
him up on it. Yeah. Hey, yeah, Drew. So thanks for the call. That turns a vacation into an even longer ordeal.
Now, this isn't a horror story for me, but there was a situation. We were driving. We had two families driving, and I was in one of the cars. And this is when I was a kid. I don't want anyone to think this is a current story. This is when I was very young. And I was in a car where they were like Drew and like me. I don't want to stop, right? I want to make as much as good time as possible. And they had a jar that you would number one into, Brian, if you had to. But the idea of that was just, you know, I didn't want to do that. Strangers. So I was like, no, I'm good. Try to hold it. Let's just say they had to get their car detailed before the trip back because I did not want to go into the jar. So that might have been a horror story for them. But again, stop the car. I'm not peeing. There's 6 people in this van, and you know, it's a 90s style van. I'm not peeing in this jar, you know, pull over, let me go to the bathroom. So I'm not saying they got what they deserved, but
I'm not about making time. I'm just making, I want everyone to be comfortable.
But would you ever say you're in a car with, you know, when your son's older and they have a friend, are you going to say, no. Go in the jar. We're not stopping.
Yeah, no.
Are you kidding me?
No. We're not 19 on like the road to Las Vegas or something. On our text board, if you're on hold with us, stay on hold. On our text board, someone's saying, toddlers can't understand mentally when they're exhausted. It's like dealing with a belligerent drunk. Like, yeah, that's pretty much on there. And to someone else said, you know, oh, are we there yet? Like that, it's so hard to explain. No, we're not there yet, or when we'll be there to somebody who measures time by holding out their hands like this wide or this wide, like that. So to say, you know, 25, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't register. 803-0930, if you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you after the break on WBEN.
Hey, welcome back, B-Maz and Beamer together again. I do have to put a disclaimer out there. My mom texted me and said, I hope people don't think I made you pee in the jar. No, I was with family friends in another car. And that is why my parents, believe me, my parents are the opposite. Traveling with my family is, unless I'm driving, is the opposite of, hey, let's get there, let's make as little stops as necessary. If we don't make us, I mean, my family stops at least once every half hour. They're the complete trips to Blacksburg, Virginia, trips to Narrows, Virginia, trips to Richmond, you know, should all be 8 to 10 hours. My family would make it a 2-day ordeal because, let's just say, no one is all going at the same time. And for some reason, no one can go to the bathroom when we're filling up gas. 20 minutes later, someone has to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's how it works in the Beamer family.
At some point, there does have to be rules on that.
Oh, when I'm driving, I'm all about making good time. What the Google Maps says when I put it into my phone, I want to be 20 minutes earlier when we get there.
I mean, that's a little extreme.
Come on. It's possible.
Yeah, I don't care so much about making time, but let's be a little efficient. That's kind of my motto.
You're somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're taking. Do you have a vacation nightmare? Do you have something along those lines? Took a trip over the weekend. It didn't exactly go as smoothly as some of our other trips. Dealing with the toddler, not the easiest thing in the world on a long road trip and long vacation. How do you do it? 803-0930, taking your comments. We'll go to Rebecca on WBEN. How's it going this morning?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Doing well. A little tired this morning, Rebecca.
Yes. No, I called in because my husband and I, we just got back from a road trip down south. We were gone for 10 days. We hit 10 states, and we have a 3.5-year-old and a 3-month-old.
That's I'm just about in the same boat as you.
Yes, I know. Actually, our 3-month-old was born the same day as Joe's son.
All right.
Half an hour apart.
Look at that. So just celebrating 3 months.
That's right. Yep. Just a few days ago. So, yeah, our little guy, he's good. He's, you know, real alert and getting on a schedule. So it's fun. But, yeah, but we had a road trip. It was the kids were actually really good travelers. But the thing that really surprised my husband and I was just how often we had to stop and how long the stop took. It wasn't just like, you know, pull into a parking space, jump out, use the bathroom, jump back in. It was like every stop was an event.
Yeah.
Like, there's puddles. We have to walk in the puddles. And, oh, I left the diapers in the car. I got to go back and get them because the little one needs a change. You know, it was just, and, you know, driving down south, there was a lot of places where, you know, we didn't know where we were. So we ended up in some kind of sketchy bathroom type situations and, I don't know.
West Virginia.
Yeah. If it's not named Sheets, don't go. Yeah. That's my my trip down south story.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think the most frustrating moment though was when we were about 10 minutes away from our hotel and our toddler was like, I have to go now. So we had to pull off. We had to find somewhere for her to go. Of course, we couldn't. You know, it took us a half an hour to find somewhere for her to go, and then we got back in the car, drove 10 minutes. We were at our stopping point for the night. So, yeah.
Well, hey, you got through it, and that's a long trip to take with those two kids, Rebecca. Thank you. The thing with she mentioned how long the stops would take. I was getting frustrated yesterday because you know I mentioned let's stop. We'll be efficient as we stop. But the thing with you know if you have a 3-year-old, they don't understand what's going on, you know, like how much longer there is in the car, how much. So we're at a stop and I'm telling my son to like, hey, just run around, like, you know, go and do something. Well, I don't want to run around. Like, listen, you are going to be in the car, like in your seat for the next 2 hours or so, like go run around and, you know, do something and get some energy out. And like trying to convey that information is a little tough.
You can't explain the map. Right? Because Buffalo to Pittsburgh, that's it? Why aren't we there yet?
Yeah. No, it's like I said, are we there yet? Like, no. How do you explain to somebody who thinks 5 minutes is the longest period of time in the world. Like, anytime I'm trying to reason with him about time, it's like 5 minutes. And like, that to him is like the longest amount of time he yep. can think of.
When I was a kid, that was, you were in timeout for 5 minutes and I would kick a hole in the wall and it seemed like it was forever.
5 minutes. So when I say an hour and a half, doesn't really compute that much. Robin, you're on WBEN. What's going on, Robin?
Well, I'm quite a bit older than you guys. I'm a grandma now, but when my boys were little, they were like 4, 7, and 9. We were invited to go over to Grand Island. My sister had a room overnight so the kids could swim. So, you know, it's that's still an ordeal, packing all their stuff, getting snacks, all that. Got into the car. We weren't 10 minutes into the trip, and they were arguing and poking and, you know, whining. I said, that's it. We're going back home. My husband looked at me. I said, turn around. We're going back home. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for them. And if they don't learn, and you can't just do idle threats, we're going back home. So we turned around, went back home, had them unpack their own swimsuits, put them back in their drawers, and they had to sit in their rooms for 15 minutes. And we never went.
So, Robin, I like this. I'm wondering, what is the age where that sets in? Because what did you say, 4, 6, and 9? Is that what you said?
Yeah. 3-year-olds, they're still too little. I mean, I have 4 grandkids, 4 under 4. And with a 3-year-old, you either have to travel at night while they're sleeping, or you have to do day trips. They just can't comprehend. They can't sit. They can't. And, like, when I travel with them, I fly a lot with them. When we're in the airport, you can't say just run around. You have to say, okay, let's get our wiggles out. So and I stand up with them, and we do our wiggles, and we walk around, and we do. And then when we board the plane, it's like, okay, we're going to have to sit for a bit. But get our wiggles out, let's go potty. You know, but to tell them just to run around, they're not going to do it by themselves. So you either have to get involved with him and run around.
Yeah, there is something like that. I'm thinking the, because he's already had, we had this past year, right? We were going to go to Sabre. You know, he likes going to hockey games. It was, we've had a lot of fun going to hockey games. There was one day we were going to go to the Sabres game a little bit later on. Wasn't behaving throughout the whole day. So mom put her foot down and said, nope, you're not going to the hockey game. And he knows why. But it doesn't compute with him, you know, like the next step.
That
like,
it's a punishment. That
yeah.
It's a punishment. It doesn't compute with him that it's a punishment. But the more you do it, they know that you're, you know, because you can't be inconsistent. You can't say, okay, you're not going to go, but then go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be willing to make the sacrifice for the whole family. But he's little yet. Three is little. Like you said, when I have them here, and if it's they're staying overnight, I find it's better to pre-prep them 10 minutes before bedtime. I have an old TV here where I have a cottage. And next commercial, we're brushing our teeth. Everybody's brushing their teeth, you know, that kind of thing. And they're better. Now, they're not fantastic. We still have some meltdowns. We still have, you know. But then as time goes on, they get better at it because it's such a routine and they know. And like here now, my grandson's funny. We can only watch TV if it's raining because that's not what our cottage is about. Our cottage is about playing games, having fun, swimming, the whole bit. So they're like, Mimi, it's raining. Can we go watch
TV? I like that. I like that. Hey, thanks so much for the call. We, you know, we do that, the pre-prep. Hey, just so you know, you've got 5 minutes. When that hand hits that number, we're going to do this. Like, just like put it in their mind. And he's good with that. It's the realization. Like, we didn't go to the football game on Saturday because you weren't behaving, you know, as well as you should be. But does that compute? Like, does he knows why. But does he understand why? Like, there's a difference between knowing and understanding, right? It's like you can memorize your multiplication table, but do you understand the concept?
Yes.
That's why they want you to show your work.
If you keep doing this, you'll miss more things.
Yeah.
This is it's not exclusive to the football game.
Yeah, we're still working on that part, I think.
I'd like the idea of traveling at night. They're already asleep. Put them in their car seat and drive.
Yeah, That is something.
That's a good idea.
Like as a kid, I just remember never really being able to sleep in the car.
Yeah, see, I'm I could sleep anywhere. Like, I slept in the car. I love sleeping on the airplane. I'm a napper. If I can get 20 minutes in this parking lot in my car, I'll do it right now. Like, I like to find the sleep wherever I can.
Yeah. So I've never been able to do that. And then, like, there's also, you do have to worry about yourself, like, to some extent. Because, like, then my mind goes to, all right, if we do this, then what's going to happen in the morning? When the kids are up.
Yeah.
And I've been driving all night. And I want to go to bed.
Yeah, now I'm the one low on sleep. Yeah.
Now I'm the one you have to worry about being a cranky monster. Morgan in Buffalo, you're on WBEN. You have any vacation nightmares?
Oh, yeah. Good morning.
How's it going, Morgan? What's yours?
It's going great. Oh, my gosh. About 5 years ago, we went to Alabama. We have five kids, five adults. And when we stopped up in West Virginia, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the kids had to go to the bathroom. And so we all took our turns and stuff. And the guy at the gas in West Virginia is scary up in the hills. And we got in the car and left and going on our way, and drove about 30 miles. We figured it was about 30 miles when we realized we left one of the kids behind. He was about 10 years old, and we had to turn around, freaked out, turn around, went back. He was there with this guy all by himself in the middle of the night, got him in the car, and couldn't believe that we actually left that kid behind. But the kid told us, he said, he's not getting out of the van until we get to Alabama, and we were in West Virginia. And that was pretty scary.
Yeah, I can imagine. Wow. You ever drive as fast in your life as after you made that U-turn?
Yeah, it was pretty much like, you know, West Virginia, just for people out there who are listening, just don't be driving around in the Black Hills in the middle of the night, because the guy at the gas station was like out of a horror movie. He was like, you know, he had like one tooth, you know, wearing the overalls, and he was just really freaky looking. And that was actually the scariest thing that I have ever done.
I can imagine. Morgan, thank you for the call. There's a rule, Joe, if we're traveling, you just don't stop in West Virginia.
Yeah, well, I can't avoid West Virginia on my trips. And you know, there are some great parts of West Virginia. My rule would be, if you're at a gas station after midnight, I don't care if you're in West Virginia or in Buffalo, New York. Isn't there a 50-50 chance that the person at the gas station is going to be out of a horror movie? Isn't that
in West Virginia?
I would say nationwide.
100%.
Nationwide. After midnight.
After midnight.
No offense to my friend over at Speedway in the morning. He's not out of a horror movie, but I think a 50-50 shot. As someone who worked overnights, let me tell you.
Catch him.
As someone who worked overnights for 2 years, let me tell you, some strange people like to work overnight.
I hope to never have that problem.
But that's why my rule is, if you're in, I don't care if you're in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, if it's nighttime and you're looking for a nice place, you go to Sheetz. If it's not named Sheetz, keep driving. That's the rule.
The car trip was not the bad part of our trip. Like, everyone's, vacation horror stories, I feel like, have to do with the car. But it wasn't so much the car. It was just like, I think it was just the long days. Kid's still three.
Yeah.
And, you know, dealing, like I said, you don't get your nap. You are exhausted.
Was your younger son fine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a trooper the most part. He's, you know, he's him. You know, he's a six-month-old. Like, what's he gonna do? he's going to be a baby. Like, he's going to, until he's one, he's just going to be. Like, that's the whole, like, you can never get mad at a baby for doing anything.
But I am noticing at 3 months, I'm noticing that the lack of, you know, if he misses a nap, I am noticing the nights are a little more difficult, you know, and if that's the case at 3 months, I can only imagine at 3 years.
Yeah, I think it's mostly with us, too. We're extremely heavily regimented household. We stick to our schedule, and the kids are on schedule. When they get thrown off the schedule, it's definitely a shock to them.
We gotta be better about the regiment thing before my son remembers stuff.
But that's my 6-month-old. He's up at the same, you know, sleeping in a pack and play in a new spot, a little bit different, everything, but still goes down at the same time, wakes up at the same time. You know what you're going to get with them.
By the way, no offense to people who work overnight. I love the people who work overnight. I'm just saying.
Doesn't sound like it.
I'm just saying, if you're on a road trip and you go to a gas station after midnight, I think a 50-50 shot, you might run into someone that you perceive. And obviously that person wasn't out of a horror movie. The kid was fine.
We didn't hear that.
I think it would have been part of the phone call. I think it would have been mentioned in the phone call. No, I have nothing but respect for people who work overnight. I'm just saying.
Yeah. After all.
I used to work overnights. If I had to work overnights again, I would. I have nothing but nice experiences. I'm just saying that I think anyone would say you have a 50-50 chance of someone at the gas station after midnight, you perceiving they look like they're out of a horror movie. You know what? I'm just going to stop with this until why I keep on digging myself into a deeper hole.
On our text board, a lot of people weighing in throughout the morning. Someone said, I wish I didn't use events as a motivation for good behavior. It made big events not fun, changed the experience for all of us. I wouldn't say that I'm using events as motivation for good behavior, but it's definitely, it's taken away if there's bad behavior. Like,
yeah.
It's not, if there's an event, we just go to an event, you know, they're scheduled. But it can be something that's taken away if there's bad. And we do follow through on that. You know, we didn't go to the game on Saturday. He's been sat out of hockey games before and other things like that. He knows about it. Just once that clicks in the head, I think things will be a little bit different.
And again, I'm sure as time goes along, you're better at doing that. I hope that I can stay behind my words like you can. I hope that when I say I'll take this away, I actually go through and take it away.
You don't have to hope; just do it.
Yeah, it's easier. It's easier said than done in the moment. I'm very easily convinced to okay, you'll be better next time. I just feel that's how I'm going to be.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just feel that's how I'm going to be.
Can't do it.
That's kind of how my parents were, right?
Can't
I turned
it.
Out okay, but like I remember.
Explain something here. Now we're getting to the bottom of this.
No, but my parents several times. Usually mine was for grades, not bad behavior.
Right, but look how it ended up. You were thrown out of the dorms in college.
Yeah, that's, you know, you make a great point. But I remember one time my dad made a big deal about carrying my TV out of the room, saying you have no TV for a week. This actually might have been for bad behavior. And later that night, I guilted them to put the TV back in my room. So, you know.
That's a quick turnaround there.
A very quick turnaround. Yes, yes.
No, I appreciate everyone who's, like I said, the travel part was actually not terrible for us. But everyone who's, you know, travel tips, because we are thinking next year about making a trip to Georgia that will be probably a flight, and that's something I'm not looking forward to.
We are planning a February flight. So I don't know what that'll be like.
Yeah, I don't. So that'll be what next year? You know, a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old on a plane. I don't know. As somebody who doesn't do well on a plane myself, I don't know what I'm in for.
Maybe worrying about the kids will actually make you better on the plane. You get what I'm saying?
I don't think so. It's not so much like a nervous. Like I'm super uncomfortable in those chairs. I get a little motion sick. I'm just not a great flyer. Like, I'll get a little flushed and then pass out on a plane sometimes. So, like, it's not a great flyer. So I'm not sure if I'll be able to keep a kid entertained on that. I guess we'll see what happens.
Still probably better than the other option of driving.
I don't know.
Oh,
that's
okay.
We'll have to see. 'Cause how long's a flight down there? By the time airport to airport, you show up at the airport. What's the flight? 2.5 hours?
Let's see.
Something like that?
Yeah.
So you show up before. You're talking, let's say, 5 hours in total of travel.
2 hours, 5 minutes is the flight time.
All right. So, you know, airport to, you know, when you're home, 5 hours. Is it, worth the extra day to just drive instead? Now that I'm saying it out loud, no. It's
15 hours compared to 5 hours, yeah.
Now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm glad I talked myself through that. All right, Joe, we'll both be back here tomorrow.
We will be. Good to be back together. David is next, and then Tom Bowerly makes his return here on News Radio 930 WBEN.